Welcome to Beer Me on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Jane. During my time in culinary school, I gained an appreciation for good beer and continued my studies in beer grad school at NYU. Since then, I have been a beer director, beer bar general manager, and I get to continue to explore the beer world with all of you wonderful listeners. Every week, I will have a guest on the show from different parts of the beer world. Brewers, importers, educators, this will allow us to examine the dynamic world of beer through different lenses. Whether you're new to beer or a seasoned professional, we will have something for you. So today on this crisp, nice Monday morning, I am joined by Mike McGarvey. He is the co-founder and head brewer at Three Stars Brewing Company up near the Tacoma Park Metro Station in Northwest D.C., about 6 years old, right?
Yeah, just celebrated our six-year anniversary in August.
In August.
August, yeah.
Sorry, I'm a little off on the month there.
It's close enough.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Chef Kyle Bailey, he is the chef owner at the Salt Line down in Navy Yard. If you haven't been to that restaurant before, you're way behind the times and you need to go, right?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Agreed.
We're going to talk about a couple things today about breweries and chefs working together for collaborations. We're going to get into pairing beer with Thanksgiving food, and then we're going to shamelessly plug a bunch of things. So, yeah.
My favorite part.
That's the best part. That's why we save it to the end. So first and foremost, Chef Kyle, you've done a couple collaborations with breweries, correct?
Yeah. Plenty of stuff with, we've done plenty of events with Three Stars and with a lot of guys in town. But we always keep the relationships open for sure.
And, you know, kind of what does that process look like with you? I mean, are there particular, you have an amazing beer background. You and I, full disclosure, worked together at Bertrand Barley Church Key.
We did, yeah.
You know way more about beer than you let on. For sure.
Yeah, okay.
Right. and you're really, really talented in cooking for beer and doing those kinds of pairings.
Yeah, you know, I think it started with where the beer pairing thing came from way back in the day. It was cooking with beer, mm-hmm. Where you'd use beer to cook the food. And I really hate it. I thought it was not okay. And it's not the same as using wine. It's not an equal swap out. I think the beer's already a cooked product. It's already done. It's finished and it's ready to go. And why don't you just enjoy drinking the beer with your dinner? I thought that was really where I wanted to go with that more. You know, we can get into the details of why beer works with food so well. Mm-hmm. I think that we're all very familiar with that. I think yes. It's not the new thing anymore. And
yeah.
I love cooking for beer, you know, and now we have this seafood restaurant. So mm-hmm. You know what goes really great with oysters? Beer does, actually, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
let's that's what we do now for sure.
Nice. And Mike, you all have done countless collaborations with different restaurants, correct?
Yeah, and we've done them on multiple levels. We've mm-hmm. we've done some where it's event-based, where we'll work with someone like Kyle on a menu. Typically, we let the chef handle the menu, and we work together on kind of aligning beers with the right courses. But we've also done actual beer collaborations where we've brewed with chefs, too. So we kind of have done both sides. We've always kind of built our portfolio of beers, that we've got lots of styles, which helps when you're working with chefs, because maybe you don't want a double IPA for every course, right? So having saisons, some darker ales, some hoppy things, some sour beers, all really help in when you're trying to put together a rounded menu.
And as far as the collaborations go, where you're actually brewing a specific beer for a restaurant, what has that experience been like?
It's been good. We don't do it as much these days as we did early on when we were a smaller brewery. We had a little more flexibility in kind of the production schedule. As we've grown, it's been a little harder to do those projects. But they start really the same way they would with another brewery, which is We look at what we're trying to accomplish, what kind of beer are we trying to make, and then where we can, we try to align it with specialties. So, you know, if we were working with Kyle, obviously we'd be working on a, you know, a fish menu or seafood menu. We'd want to align the beers that way, or we might choose some ingredients that cross over. So it's highly interactive, kind of back and forth with whoever that individual is.
Nice. And you brought some beer for us to drink. Yeah. What are we drinking right now?
Absolutely. Always bring beer. right now I've got our, it's actually a new beer for the fall called Never Say Never. It's a Vienna lager, which called Never Say Never because we said we never brew a lager.
Mm-hmm.
And we did.
It's delicious.
Oh, cheers. Thank you.
Very, very delicious. And for maybe listeners that aren't too familiar, why would you say you'd never brew a lager?
Well, it just it wasn't really the persona of the brewery. We kind of had some styles that we liked, and mm-hmm. we were we stood our ground on that we weren't going to make one. Not really a style we were big fans of. And as we've grown and the brewery's grown, we've got more people involved in the creative process. We kind of recognize that to include everybody, sometimes you move into some styles maybe you hadn't done before. So
I gotcha. And this is, I mean, it's also very time consuming and yes. It takes up space, which takes up money. And
yes. And early on, we wouldn't have been able to make lagers. Now we have enough capacity where we can do it.
Nice. And so, Chef, when you're pairing beer with your menu, you know, what are some of the newer menu items that you're really excited about? You know, you have an excellent beer list. I don't know. Who does your beer list at this point?
Donato does. Our beverage director, Donato Alvarez.
Okay, nice. So, awesome beer list. Super food friendly and really, really great with seafood especially. So, you have some fun new items on your menu, correct?
Yeah, we try to keep everything kind of relatable with maybe one or two kind of weird things in there. And mm-hmm. that we worked when we worked together, that was kind of the same formula with doing some weird, super weird stuff with some relatable stuff to, so you can sneak in the fun things.
Yeah.
Right now we're doing eels. It's kind of eel season and mm-hmm. We do eel dishes.
Wait, there's a season for eel? How do I not know this?
The season is based on the season ends when it's too cold to go out and get eels.
Okay, I gotcha.
The ice, right?
The ice, okay.
But,
what do they do under the ice otherwise?
Who knows?
Do they just die? Eels. Or
no, I bet some evil stuff. I have no idea.
We need to get a nature person on this show. Right. So it's almost end of eel season, so you're full bore on eels.
Yeah, we're getting big time on eels. I think eel really relates great to kind of chilly weather anyway.
Okay.
I think... I don't know if you're familiar with eel meat, but it cooks like chicken thigh, and it's mm-hmm.
so big, it's like dark and meaty, and
it's not like dark, it's mm-hmm. it's light, but it is meaty as hell and juicy. You can almost not cook the juice out of it, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
So it smokes great, and it grills really well. And what we're doing right now is we do eel dishes every year. We do an eel dish, mm-hmm. but we do it with a classic veal preparation. This year we're doing. Last year we did eel cacciatore, which was fun. This year is eel parmigiana, and what we're doing is we take the eel and we cut it down a little bit, grilled and fried, mm-hmm. and then super tasty tomato sauce and house pulled mozzarella.
Nice. No, that's amazing. And you can. I mean, you have a lot of flexibility as far as beer goes with that. Right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think this, for example, would go really well with that. I think the weight that the malt brings with the low ABV, I think it's awesome.
Very cool. And when the eel finishes cooking, I mean, is it still like a more delicate texture, or is it more kind of like substantial?
No, it gets meaty. It gets like for real chicken thigh.
Damn.
So cool.
Yeah.
So cool, man. And the eels that we're getting are mm-hmm. like... bigger than my arm, like she's like,
oh my god,
it's like up to my shoulder, like a huge eel.
Oh.
Two cutting boards, boom, two big cutting boards down, and I'm gonna buy. I'm like happy. I'm gonna buy an eel knife. They call it an eel knife.
What makes it an eel knife?
It's got a weird shape and it's sharp.
Okay, yeah, no, I get that. I get that.
Very cool.
Where are you getting the eels from?
eels are coming from Crisfield, Maryland, super duper local.
Mm-hmm.
But all over the bay, they're all over the place.
And they're not, I mean, nobody, it's like not high demand. No one's ordering like a, you know, eel Caesar salad.
Just
or
me.
Veal eel. I like that. You know, someone taught me that food is better when it rhymes.
Oh, he sounds like a smart guy.
Yeah. So for those of you just tuning in, I'm talking with Chef Kyle Bailey. He's the chef owner at the Salt Line, as well as Mike McGarvey. He is the co-founder and head brewer of Three Stars here in DC. So coming up this week is my favorite holiday of all time, and that is Thanksgiving. It's the best holiday. No one's arguing with me on that one.
I love Thanksgiving.
That's your favorite holiday too?
I love cooking, so yeah.
Great, yeah. All right. So we're all on board on that one. I feel like you're just agreeing with me because I told you to. Or no, free will here.
I actually cook on Thanksgiving as well. We invite our families in and we host.
Nice. So I want to, you know, everyone does those lists where it's like, oh, what to pair with what to eat and stuff like that. And a lot of times you just see like lists of beers with lists of food and you don't really get into why. So I want to dig into that a little bit if you guys are cool with it.
Sure.
So kicking off the start of the meal, when you're kind of standing around awkwardly with people you haven't seen in a long time, somebody's invited somebody that, you know, is kind of standing awkwardly cause they don't know anybody. And you're nibbling on like crackers and nuts and cheese or something like that. Like we're there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you should start with a Goza or a Berliner Weiss, right?
Sour beers are really good for cheese.
Yeah.
So that's not a bad idea. and those are light beers too.
Yeah.
So, you know, the party starts, everybody's a little nervous, everybody's hand to mouth, drink.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't want to start with the biggest beer either.
No, so. Something like low, like 4.5 or below.
Yeah.
You want that high acid, little dry, kind of acting as an aperitif, so waking up your palate, getting you hungry, that kind of thing. If you have a Goza, it's got a little salt in it, so that's going to make you want to eat more, and that's the goal for the day. Because you don't just want to eat your food, you want to eat until you hate yourself, right?
Yes.
That's the goal.
Absolutely.
All right, so then you finally get everyone seated down. Maybe somebody makes you do an obligatory prayer of some kind, or you have to go around and tell everybody what you're thankful for. Yeah? And then you finally get to go eat your food. Let's talk turkey. What are you drinking with your turkey?
Well, so, you know, you're talking about a big meal here.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to be drinking that, you know, 10, 11% beers yet. Those
no.
are more dessert a little bit later. So now you're looking at your ales or a lager. Lager would be good too, right? Something
mm-hmm.
light, drink all meal long. The malt goes along with everything. Or you could look at something hoppy. You could have your double IPA, your pale ale to go alongside. Or if you're not a hoppy person, maybe Saison. Peppercorn
yeah.
Saison is one of our core beers you'll see all around town. That's another nice beer with food. Not too high in alcohol, but got a little sweet finish. So, you know, those few different ways you could go there.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Saison because I feel like that spiciness that you get in Saison, especially with your pink peppercorn Saison,
mm-hmm.
that would pull out those like herbal spicy notes that you get in stuffing. So you're kind of bringing the outside of the turkey to the surface. And then I agree with you on the maltiness because if you cook your turkey properly, you're going to have a nice crispy skin. And
mm-hmm.
Chef, you could probably explain the Maillard reaction there.
I mean, it's browning, right?
Browning.
It means browning. But one quick Thanksgiving Day tip.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find some caul fat.
Yeah.
I have it if you anybody needs any.
Yeah.
For sure, if you need
some. Go down to the Salt Line, get some caul fat from Chef Kyle.
I have the fat that surrounds a pig's stomach in my freezer. So
mm-hmm.
anyway, wrap your turkey in caul fat and
yeah.
like put a ton of butter in there and like lemons or whatever. And it's like a fat cape for the turkey.
Yeah.
Like to get it crispy and super duper juicy. Let me know.
That is amazing.
I want
a fat cape.
So are you guys brine your turkey or not brine your turkey kind of people?
100% brine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why for people who maybe don't know?
Brine is great for, you know, it really holds moisture in.
Mm-hmm.
It's curing.
Yeah.
Or pickling or brining in that same family. And that's the idea is to maintain moisture. And to add flavor.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
Always brine.
But I'm with you on that fat cape for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Let me know. I got it. I have that.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back and continue to dive through this epic Thanksgiving menu that I'm painting here.
Sounds good.
I guess we're just going to have to break it down for you. Rock the beat. Rock the beat.
Welcome back to Beer Me on Full Service Radio, recording live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I am joined today by Chef Kyle Bailey, chef and owner of the Saltline, co-owner of Saltline, and then Mike McGarvey, the co-founder and head brewer at Three Stars Brewery in Washington, D.C. So we're just kind of going through a typical or hypothetical Thanksgiving holiday menu, pairing some beer, talking about some turkey tips and whatnot. We started to touch on IPAs.
Yeah.
And the thing I love about IPAs is you have that bitterness, and that really helps balance out any sweetness or any fattiness. And for sides, there's a lot of fat out there. You've got the green bean casserole that's completely coated in mushroom soup from a can. Mm-hmm. You got mac and cheese, that kind of thing. Plus, once you're hitting the sides, you're hitting the questionable political discussions, and you're going to want higher ABV to kind of coast you through that. Right?
Yes. Yes.
So what are your guys, what are some of your favorite IPAs out there?
Oh, man. You know, right now, the crazy thing with IPAs is they're all over the map. Some mm-hmm. are bitter, some are not, some are hazy, some are not, some are juicy, some are spicy. So, you know, for me, I like the big juicy ones.
Yeah.
I like the double IPAs. We've got one right now, just hit the shelves a couple weeks ago. Nothing but them lacks, Cadillacs. So, you know, we tend to focus more on the big aroma and juicy flavors, a little less on the bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be kind of a profile everybody's getting around these days. But, you know, I don't know if I could pick just one, because the difference in the style has changed so much over the last year, even 2 years, that you can find such a broad profile for that style.
Yeah. Chef?
Yeah, man. The IPAs have changed so much, like, since back in the day. It's really cool, man. I remember when everybody was doubling down on bitter, and it was like, let's see how crazy bitter we can make this. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I like to punish myself.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, it's like, yeah, I want to taste this beer, too, you know?
Yeah.
And I love IPAs, man. I think that's my favorite kind of beer. And my number one is Bell's to Arden. That was the beer that made me understand what beer was. You know, I remember drinking it and I was like, oh, I totally get this now, man. I get what this is and how the flavors work, and why it works is because of balance. And that's really special, man. I think that's why it pairs so well. It's so complete in itself
mm-hmm.
that it's going to complement everything around it.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's an excellent Thanksgiving beer.
Yeah, and that's a beer, honestly, most breweries have built their IPAs around that style, around mm-hmm. that beer in particular, because it was everybody's saying, that's my double IPA. That's my beer.
Yeah.
It's a great go-to, man. But what you're saying about the juicy, man, that's the cool thing. I think that's really cool about the new IPAs, these new class of IPAs coming in. Just all the words you said, the hazy and the juicy and... that's really cool. It's really different. You
know? It's cool. And like, I love the New England style IPAs where you're getting that juicy haziness. Like, I think it's really delicious and easily crushable, especially in like summertime and stuff like that. What I am not a fan of is when breweries do the double IPAs, it's super hazy, and they add a ton of fruit juice to the point where it just tastes like fruit juice. Like, if they're doing like a passion fruit New England style double IPA, and it comes out looking exactly like, you know, those like, you know, that like block of passion fruit that you get when you work in a restaurant and you're making some kind of passion fruit dessert.
I have some now if you want.
Yes.
if you need.
When you like melt that down, And so when you hand me a beer that looks of that consistency and tastes exactly like it, I'm like, you know, congratulations on your pastry accomplishments, but you're not a brewer.
Yeah.
This is a delicious Tropicana IPA. Yeah.
That's a huge thing though right now, is you have to wade through who's taking that, being creative and still making a solid beer, who is just dumping all the fruit in there and, you know, call it a cheater beer or whatever, but mm-hmm. they're not in the end, their focus is not on something that is a beer with some elements of fruit or how the fruit helps to set off the hop profile of the beer. It's all about lactose, which does not belong in double IPAs in my opinion, but mm-hmm. I've had some decent ones, so I'm not going to say never. Never say never, right?
Right.
But I think I'm with you. I align myself more with those that are looking at how to take these new styles or variances on the styles, advance them forward, take what you like from it, mix it with something else you do, come up with something unique yourselves or something else. But I'm with you. It's still got to be beer for me.
Mm-hmm.
I like fruit in beer, obviously, because we use a lot of it.
Yeah.
I prefer it more in sour beers because it fits better. It's more of what those styles are meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm with you. There's a fine line there, and some people are just, you know, they haven't seen the line yet. They're crossing it, but they don't know it.
And, you know, there's the argument on the other side is that it makes beer incredibly appealing and
approachable. Yeah.
So if you've got somebody who hates beer and, you know, really loves, you know, like a slushy cocktail with vodka, which, hey, no, don't knock that ever.
That's okay.
You know, and it's like, all right, I'm gonna bridge you from your slushy cocktail with vodka to a quote unquote beer, and I'm gonna basically give you a passion fruit slushy. Cool. If that gets someone buying craft beer, fine.
It's a gateway beer.
It's a gateway beer. Yeah. It like eases you into it. Speaking of, you know, beers that actually taste like beer, this beer that you just poured us is really good. What did you just pour us?
This is nothing but them lax. It's double IPA. So that just hit stores last week. So
okay.
It's super fresh. Should be all around town.
And this is what I'm picturing when I say drink a IPA with sides. Nice, nice, bright bitterness, malty backbone. This is decent in ABV, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's about 7.5%.
Yeah, that'll get you through those political discussions.
Yeah,
decent.
For sure. You know, it's funny. I was interviewing a German brewer a couple weeks ago, and they're like, "Oh yeah, and we're gonna come out with this crazy high ABV beer." And I was like, "Oh yeah," and he's like, "Yeah, 6%. It's gonna be insane." And I was like, "Awesome." So speaking of sides, what are your favorite sides? Thanksgiving sides?
Stuffing. I love stuffing.
Cool. Yeah, we're talking about doing an oyster stuffing.
Okay.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. Can't forget Brussels. Honestly, my favorite thing are the sides. And cooking a turkey's fun, but mm-hmm. it's like, how many turkeys can you cook before it's like you feel satisfied with your ability to cook turkeys?
You got
four.
I go for the wing. I go for the turkey wing and gnaw on that because it's the most crispy skin, you know, per, you know, whatever.
So. Yeah. Yeah, but like every every part of the turkey, it's good. It's turkey, mm-hmm. you know. But they got that weird leg thing, weird leg bone.
Yeah,
what is that? You know, it's all sharp and crazy.
But you can get around it. You just gotta be crafty. You just gotta really sneak in there. My favorite is actually mashed potatoes.
Mm. Yeah.
I love a really good. I still like kind of create a pit. I put a bunch of hot sauce in there and I mix it up till it's like orange. That's my favorite.
You
thing.
Make the well.
I that's make good. The well, or the volcano, or you know whatever it is. But yeah, no, I'm still like 8 and just like crushing hot sauce on mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I can see that. but then Brussels.
Yeah.
Green beans and sweet potatoes and mm-hmm. cranberry sauce. Oh man, and the new thing is mac and cheese.
Okay.
But You make like a custard, like mm-hmm. a cheesy custard, and you pour that on the cooked pasta, and you bake it like a bread pudding.
Oh,
and that is awesome.
I gotta say, my husband makes this mac and cheese that is like mind-blowingly good. He makes like a really thick cheese sauce, and he pours it over the cooked noodles, and he cooks it in a casserole dish. So yeah, pretty similar. But he puts goat cheese in his blend.
Yes.
And
that's awesome.
So,
I love it, man.
So good. He's from Western New York, so his like casserole roots are really deep. So we're moving into desserts now. At this point, you need the heavy hitters. Things have gone off the rails.
Yeah.
The political discussions have gone awry. There's something that's been said that's racist. There's something that's been said that's sexist. You no longer want to speak to some of your relatives. You need the heavy hitters now. What are we drinking?
Yeah. So this is where you pull the big stouts, mm-hmm. the big porters out.
Yeah.
Today we've got Desolation Imperial Coffee Porter.
Okay.
It's an awesome name.
This is, yeah. So this is actually made with barrel-aged coffee. Mm-hmm. So the coffee gets barrel-aged, the beans, not the beer, which is very different than you would normally expect. We use Qualia coffee here, actually. So we work with Joel over at Qualia on special, roast and special beans. And then we infuse that delicious barrel-aged bean right into the beer. So this is great with dessert. You know, big imperial porter, you get your extra alcohol, smooths everybody out, but you got the richness to go alongside your sweetness. So big dark malts, chocolatey, rich flavors.
Nice. So for listeners who don't know or are not too familiar, the Goose Island does their release of Bourbon County Stout the day after Thanksgiving. It's their Black Friday release. And this year they're releasing 8. There are two of them that are, there's one of them that's only going to be released in Chicago, and then it, you know, kind of peters out from there. We used to do a really big event at Church Key with it, and that event haunts me.
Oh, yes.
Because you get, I show up like the day after Thanksgiving, and it's, you know, we open at, 11 at Church Key, and I'd show up at 8:30 to, like, you know, get my stuff together and, you know, get myself ready to be, you know, kicked repeatedly in the face during brunch, as brunch does. And there'd already be a line. There'd be a line at, like, 8:30, you know, of, like, 20-some people. And they'd be like, excuse me, there's a line, and, you know.
Yes, like, I do know that one.
Like, come on, man. I got to go set up for brunch.
That was actually one of my favorite, things to do were heckle those people.
Yeah.
As I was walking into the door. Line but, starts back here. It's like, line starts right here.
But it's just...
I've cut that line. I've been like, hey, I'm working. Come on, let me go. It can get crazy out there.
I totally appreciate people who stand in line for beer because it's a fun experience. And I've done it before, you know. I always have beers to stand in line for beer, though. I don't do that sober. That's how you start snapping at people who actually work the establishment. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
And you used to do line tots.
Yeah.
When people were standing in line for too long, you'd send out tots for people.
Yeah, you know, I hate lines, man. I hate lines. I hate standing in lines. I hate seeing people standing in lines
mm-hmm.
because it's like, wow, you could be doing so much more stuff, man. But I also have like a very small amount of free time. So I think I'm maybe a little bit different on that one. However, whenever I see people in lines, especially if it's my restaurant, I'm like, we got to send out some food. Like, everybody wants a snack, you know?
That's the best.
Everybody wants a snack,
dude. I think
that's awesome. Like something, especially if it's hot, it's like, wow, man. Nobody ever said anything nice about it, though. I can't believe we never...
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah, we didn't get some like Twitter shout-out of like, oh, man, thanks for the free tots while I was in line.
Yeah, I never got that. Even a handshake or like a...
No.
Hey, that was cool, man.
Ah, well, what are you going to do? So as far as Thanksgiving dessert, Chef, you're incredibly spoiled because you are married to Chef Tiffany McIsaac, who's the owner of Buttercream Bake Shop, and she has pies for sale. I'm going to plug that right now.
It's totally pie time right now. I actually just ate a full apple pie before I came here.
Okay.
And a full apple pie.
Is it straight apple or does she like put pear in it or anything?
It's apple and... dulce de leche and cinnamon, and it's
stop it.
I can't give away any trade secrets, but I will say that the crust is special
mm-hmm.
for a number of reasons. But it's like, you know, when you go to pick up a piece of apple pie, I don't know if you're like me, when you eat the apple pie,
you eat it like a pizza.
Yeah,
okay,
it's right in your hand, like this over the sink.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you know, when it all falls out the bottom, and you're like, what the hell is this, man? This pie does not do that. And it's because years of testing on my part.
So the day after Thanksgiving, when you're like hungover and exhausted and you don't want to do any cleanup, you don't want to do any cooking, you just cut a piece of the pie and like shame eat it over the sink.
Yes. Or make yourself a pie sandwich. That's two pieces of white bread in the pie.
Two pieces of white bread in the pie. Or do you, I was thinking you put,
in the face.
People put cheese on apple pie, right?
I've heard that.
I've never done that before. Is that, it's where does that come from?
Very good. Vermont.
Does that come from your, does that come from your motherland in Pennsylvania? That
sounds like that's a very PA thing. A very PA thing to do is a spaghetti sandwich. This is, you've not heard that before?
No.
No.
Really? Oh, it's awesome. everything on a sandwich, right? So, but that's Vermont, and it's super duper sharp cheddar and just delicious. Like almost untouched apple pie.
Okay.
Where it's natural sweetness, so you don't add extra stuff to it. And it's like the melty cheese on it.
Okay.
And it's like. Oof.
All right, you're selling me on this one a little bit. All right.
Get to it, man.
I'll try it.
That pie sandwich with cheese.
Pie sandwich with cheese. Grilled cheese. apple pie. Well, we're disgusting. And Chef Kyle, there's a really cool thing that your restaurant does, and people should really keep this in mind for right after Thanksgiving, is the Christmas tree lot. Correct?
Yep, day after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Come on down, Christmas tree lot. We have these, you know, awesome Christmas trees. They're actually shipped in from Pennsylvania. And yeah. The proceeds go to the DC Firefighters Burn Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So come pick up a tree, man.
I did my Christmas tree from there for 2 years in a row. It's an awesome tree. It lasted well into February.
Yeah, they're fresh.
Yeah,
fresh
because
trees.
I don't, you know, I'm lazy. So
we've done ours the last, I don't know how long from there, but they've all been great trees.
Cool.
We'll be back too. Yeah.
And you know it all goes to a good cause.
That's right.
Don't buy your trees at Whole Foods. Get out of here.
They have trees.
I didn't know they had trees. This is news to me.
My first Christmas in DC, I got my tree from Whole Foods, and I walked it home over a mile and a half on a dolly. You know,
That's the most Sarah Jane thing I've heard all day.
I had a friend of mine with me. And she's like, "Do you need help?" And I'm like, "No, I've got to do this." Yeah, I have all the bad ideas. And Mike, you guys have the holiday party coming up, correct?
That's right. This will be the 7th anniversary party, so 7 years. Be a great day at the brewery. It's December 9th, 1 to 6. We'll have live music. We'll have DJ. We'll have tons of food. We'll have tons of special beers, some one-offs, some collaborations, all the good stuff. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, come on out.
Yeah.
Be a great time.
And tickets are on sale right now.
That's right.
You can get them through your website.
That's right.
And then you also have some really cool beer societies that people can join, correct?
That's right. Yep. So now's the time. Wednesday morning, we'll open them up to the public. This is for our Illuminati and Funkerdome Society clubs, which are private beer clubs where it's $100 plus whatever fees. You get 5 releases throughout the year. These are beers that are only made for the club. Mm-hmm. Clean beers are the Illuminati Club. Funkerdome Society is for sour beers. We learned we had to split the two. Not everybody likes sour beers. So we've got the two societies. They open up Wednesday morning.
Is there some kind of initiation or handshake?
Hazing. There's some secret things here and there.
Okay, so secret things. Will there be like meetings or?
Yeah, so what we do with it, there actually is an intro event where everybody comes out who's a member. We'll do that at the brewery. It's a big party. People come out. We've got beers from prior Illuminati's we'll serve up. So that's kind of the intro. That's how everybody gets into it. And then it's about a release a quarter throughout the year. The last quarter, you get 2 releases.
Wow, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, we think so. For, you know, really a one-off beer that you and, you know, just a few hundred people get to experience.
For sure. And I mean, what you said, it was like $100 for the membership?
Yep. That's right.
You think like a rare beer on average, you know, you're spending $25 anyways, you're getting, what, 5 or 6 beers?
5 beers.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well,
we love it. It's an opportunity to just be completely creative. Every style is on the table. Mm-hmm. Typically, they're barrel-aged beers, so you know there's a lot of complexity to them.
That's awesome. Well, that's also on your website.
Yeah.
So definitely check that out on Wednesday.
That's right.
And that's it. You don't have to do Black Friday or anything. join the Illuminati Club or the,
there you go.
You know, and then afterwards go get your Christmas tree.
That's right.
Easy. And done. Eat some eel. Some veal eel.
Try some eel, man.
Eat lots of eel.
Eat lots of eel. All right. Well, it is the end of our show now. Thank you all for tuning in. You can get Beer Me anywhere you get podcasts. Thank you all for coming by on Monday morning.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll see you all next week. Cheers.
Cheers. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.